Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you again. Let us just open with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, as we gather in your house this morning, we pray that we might put aside the cares and worries of our day-to-day lives, that we might open our hearts and our minds to you, to hear what you have to say to us today. And we claim your promise that where two or three are gathered, there you, Lord, are also. Amen. Now, I suspect that we all have in our minds a picture of what we think Jesus looks like. And it's probably very different from what he actually looked like. Because told in the Bible that Jesus wasn't particularly fair of face or handsome. He wasn't particularly tall. We're told that he was a very ordinary looking person for the day, which means he was probably about 5'5" tall. He probably had some black curlyish hair. He was probably olive skinned, which is nothing like the pictures we see of Jesus in sort of the Renaissance pictures, is it? But what is more important than what he looked like is what he was like. So has anybody got any words that describe, a word that describes what they think Jesus is like in personality and character? Loving, all-knowing, caring, challenging, humble, wise, all good words. When I asked the question at my church, the first person who answered was Steve Robbins, you know Steve, and his answer was ineffable. So I promptly said to him, what does ineffable mean? His response to that was undescribable. But all those big pictures of what Jesus is like. Neil's going to come and read now from Isaiah and gives us another insight into what Jesus is like.
Caught him off guard. We don't normally have a reading this early.
So the reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on. Move up a bit. They will soar and not grow weary. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
In our image. Now we're going to watch a video in a moment, and it's from Galilee News. The premise is that what would a rolling news and so on, a modern news reporter and television news, how would they have reported about Jesus when he started preaching in Galilee? What would have been the reaction of reporters and the press in those days? So if we can have the video, please.
Good evening and welcome to Galilee Tonight. The headlines in Capernaum tonight, there are reports of a number of medical miracles. The healer is an unknown young man, but word about him is spreading fast. Our reporter Judith is in the town center. Judith, what's happening?
Well, I'm surrounded by people. This crowd is enormous, and it's gathered around the house of Simon Peter, where this afternoon I'm told that this healer cured a middle-aged woman, said to be Simon's mother-in-law, who was literally at death's door. Word spread, and now it seems as if the whole town is outside the little house. People have carried their sick relatives here to be cured by this man, whoever he is. I spoke to one woman whose daughter had been suffering from leprosy. The man touched her skin and prayed, and all signs of the disease left her.
So Judith, who is he?
Well, that's just it. No one seems to know. All I can tell you is that his name is Jesus, and he comes from Nazareth. The rest is rumor and speculation. Some say he is a prophet, and some even go so far as to say that he is the Messiah.
Really? But that's extraordinary.
It certainly is. I spoke to one man who was present when a woman was cured of an evil spirit which had possessed her. This eyewitness claims that the spirit tried to speak, but the healer commanded it to be silent. If this is true, it may be that this man has a secret identity which he is keen to protect.
So where is he now?
That's the other puzzle. He seems to have disappeared. It's very late, and the crowds are still gathered out here in the dark, but in the house they are saying that he's gone. Either they are protecting him, or he is determined to remain a man of mystery for a while longer.
Let's imagine that Galilee in Jesus' time had the sort of rolling news coverage that we have today. A few hours later, we can bring the reporter back to the studio to reflect on the events she witnessed. Here she is now. So is there any news of our mystery healer this morning?
Well, I was lucky enough to speak to Simon Peter himself. He told me that Jesus had been found alone in prayer in the early hours of this morning. It seems he had been considering his next move. He said to Simon, and I quote, "Let's go on to the next town so that I can proclaim the message there too, because that's what I came to do."
What message is that?
Jesus has so far declined to give any interviews, so I have not had a chance to ask him to explain himself. But all I can tell you is that there are hundreds of people in this town who are waking up healthy this morning, some for the first time in their lives. Men who had leprosy are burning their old bandages. Women who couldn't walk are getting up to milk the cows. Children who couldn't see are staring at the sky as if they were in heaven itself. Whoever this Jesus is, and whatever he's come to do, he's certainly left this town a better, happier place.
So that's all from us at Galilee tonight. I hand you back to Adrian at Cary Baptist Church in Kettering to explore more of what this means to you today.
So, when we look at Jesus' ministry from the modern point of view, we notice something which these days would be highly unusual. In spite of all the miraculous things he does, Jesus himself was avoiding publicity. He doesn't declare that he is the Son of God. He isn't interested in becoming a celebrity. And he doesn't waste time building up his personal profile. In fact, Mark's Gospel tells us time and again that he tries to keep his true identity a secret. What he does is preach, teach, and heal people. And all of this serves one purpose, to show people what God is like. This is what Jesus came to do. And for those people he healed in Capernaum, his message came across loud and clear. He demonstrated that God is good. As Judith, that reporter, said, they didn't know who he was, didn't understand, but they were pleased he'd come, and they were celebrating the fact that they were healed and all the rest of it. What is our reaction to Jesus today when he comes to us? Now, we're told we are made in God's image. Now, that's a bit difficult to understand in some ways, because if you look around, we all look very different from each other, don't we? If we put up a identity parade, the old-fashioned police identity parade, and we put half a dozen up in front of us and we said, okay, pick out the one who looks most like Jesus. But of course, the real point is that it's not our looks that we're made like Jesus. It's in our... we are like, how we behave, how we demonstrate God's love to other people. That and those things are much more important to demonstrate and to be revealed in us than whether you've got dark and curly hair like Jesus or blue or green eyes like Jesus. Eyes were probably a darkish brown, that was the common colour of the day. But Paul, when we were asking about words, he said, Jesus is challenging. And one of the biggest challenges that Jesus makes us is to challenge what we think about him and who we think he was. Because we've been brought up on traditional Bible stories. Many of us went to Sunday school as young people and we were taught things. And it all generated in our minds, and it's generated in our minds, an impression of who Jesus is, who God is. The one thing the Bible is very clear about is however we view God and Jesus, whatever picture we have in our minds of God and Jesus, that picture is very much incomplete. We only see a fraction of what he was like. Now, there's a story about three blind men who confronted for the first time an elephant. And the first blind man, he reached up and he put his hands on them. They'd never heard of an elephant before, and he put his hands up and he felt the trunk and he felt the tusks, and he described, well, it's very rough and it's got sharp, it's a really terrifying beast. And the second one, well, he came up against the side of the elephant and he reached up and he said, it's a big rough wall. And the third one came up to the rear of the elephant to put his hands up, and all that we say is none of them really got it right, did they? You know, and that's in a way what we do when we try to describe Jesus. We sort of see these little bits and the pieces, and different ones of us see bits and different pieces. We have to put it all together. But one thing that we can be certain of is that our God is an awesome God. And we're now going to sing that song, Our God is an Awesome God. I'm now going to read from Psalm 147, the first 11 verses. But I'm reading from the version known as the Message, which is a... Why is that amusing?
Because that's what
Marion uses. Right. So it's a paraphrased version. It takes and puts into modern language the meaning of the gospel. So, Psalm 147, beginning at verse 1. Hallelujah! It's a good thing to sing praise to our God. Praise is beautiful. Praise is fitting. God's the one who rebuilds Jerusalem, who gathers Israel's scattered exiles. He heals the heartbroken and bandages their wounds. He counts the stars and the signs, each a name. Our Lord is great with limitless strength. We'll never comprehend what he knows and does. God puts the fallen on their feet again and pushes the wicked into the ditch. Sing to God a thanksgiving hymn. Play music on your instruments to God. Who fills the sky with clouds, preparing rain for the earth, then turning the mountains green with grass, feeding both cattle and crows. He is not impressed with horsepower. The size of our muscles means little to him. Those who fear God get God's attention. They can depend on his strength. So, quite different from the words that were on the screen, giving us a different perspective, a different understanding of God. We now come to prayers of intercession. And these are a responsive component to them. And when I say, Lord, in your mercy, I would like you to respond with the words, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to hear our prayers as we lay before you our hopes and fears, our joys and concerns, and all the things for which we give thanks. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we pray for Christians throughout the world, and particularly for those who are persecuted because of their faith. We ask for your protection for them and strength and guidance for all individuals and organizations that seek to help them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for your world, particularly those countries that are torn apart by conflict, illness, and hunger. We pray for refugees who continue to flee from crises throughout the world. We pray for all those who give their time and energy to serve the most vulnerable, that they will find opportunities to rest and be strengthened for their work. We also remember aid workers throughout the world working in places and situations that are no longer newsworthy. Give them the encouragement to continue to show their love and care for those people who will be rebuilding their lives after man-made or natural disasters. In a moment of silence, please pray for any country that is on your mind today. Lord, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for our local community. We thank you for all people who seek to help others. Please show us how, as a church and as individuals, we can best serve people who are struggling in any way. In a moment of silence, please pray for any aspect of life in our local community that is on your mind today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Caring God, we pray for all those who are afflicted by physical, emotional, or mental illness. Help them to keep their eyes fixed on you and give them the courage to face the problems affecting their daily lives. In a moment of silence, please pray for anybody who is on your mind today. Comfort and heal all those on our minds today so that they may be aware of your presence with them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for all who have lost loved ones either recently or at this time of year and ask you to provide your peace and comfort during their time of grief. We thank you for your promise of eternal life for all who put their trust in your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we pray for your wisdom and guidance as we progress towards our fellowships being more relevant to our communities. We pray for fellowships already united by the Holy Spirit. We pray for the other churches in Kettering. We pray for the churches who lack ministerial leadership. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, as we shortly gather around your table to receive bread and wine in remembrance of you, open our hearts and minds that we might truly be a loving people, loving you as our God and loving one another as you love us. Strengthen our faith, deepen our love for you and for our neighbours, and open our eyes to the wonder of your creation. Listening God, accept our prayers today, spoken and unspoken, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. We're going to sing again now, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. And at the conclusion of this hymn, we will gather around the table to partake of bread. there's somebody just coming in to join us, so we'll just wait a moment until they are with us. Here is the table of the Lord. We are gathered to his supper, a foretaste of things eternal. Come when you are fearful to be made new in love. Come when you are doubtful to be made strong in faith. Come when you are regretful and be made whole. Come, old and young, there is room for all. We pause for a moment while we contemplate the table spread before us and its meaning. As before God, we open our hearts and minds, preparing ourselves to receive the bread and the wine. The kingdom of God is justice and peace. Let us then pursue the things that make for peace. Where lies abound, you call us to speak truth. We will speak truth. Where greed takes all, you call us to act justly. We will act justly. Where violence consumes, you call us to live peacefully. We will live peacefully. Where death mocks us, you call us to live in Christ. We will live in Christ. We set aside our wisdom, our will, our words. We empty our hearts and bring nothing in our hands. We yearn for the healing, the holding, the accepting, the forgiving which Christ alone can offer. So may the peace of the Lord rest within us and remain with us today and always. Amen. Let us stand and share the peace and greet each other in the peace. May God's peace be with you. Peace of God. May the peace of God be with you. With you. Peace be with you. Peace. Julie is now going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving.
Loving Lord Jesus, we gather around your table today to bring you back to the forefront of our lives, to ask forgiveness for the times when we lose focus. You love us so much that you were willing to suffer and die on the cross for our salvation. And even though the crowd watching that day could only see your sacrifice, You knew the future, your resurrection and glory. In the same way, we look at the world today and see pain, suffering and greed, but we have the benefit of you in our lives. We know that although we don't always see it, you have a plan and that all will be as it should. In Romans 5, Paul says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops the strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. We trust in you, Lord, and we eagerly follow your light in the darkness. Be with us, O Lord. Guard us, guide us, so that we may be part of your great plan and encourage others to follow in your footsteps. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Paul wrote, the tradition which I hand on to you comes from the Lord himself. For on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, gave God thanks, and then broke it, saying, "This is my body for you. Do this and remember me. For the bread we eat day by day, God, be blessed forever. For the bread of the great day that feeds us for new life, God, be blessed forever. Jesus, true and living bread, touch all our days and fit us for your new day's dawning. God, be blessed forever. Nourish us with bread for the journey, disciples in your way this day and always. Come, Holy Spirit, feed us with your love and renew us with your life. We eat to remember." In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper. For the wine that makes hearts glad, God be blessed forever. For the wine that seals the covenant, God be blessed forever. Jesus, true and living vine, make hearts glad and lives safe. God be blessed forever. Enliven us with the wine of the kingdom this day and always. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your love and renew us with your life. Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, and remember me." We drink to remember. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Loving God, we thank you that you have nourished us at this table. We pray for those who hunger and thirst. May they be filled. And may we with them feast at the table of your eternal kingdom. This we ask through Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, and who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Come, Holy Spirit, empower us with your love, inspire us with your love. We sing now our final hymn, "Sent Forth by God's Blessing."
Oh,
now and as you go, know this. In grace you were created, in mercy you have been sustained, in love you'll be held forever. Let us share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.